Here we go. In today's gospel, a man with many possessions encountered Jesus. Possessions, are they good or bad? The man with many possessions started off with a question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was looking for an inheritance, not a gift or a payment or an allowance or a reward, but an inheritance. He wanted Jesus to tell him what he could do to secure the benefit of God's most fundamental values. Jesus' initial response to "what must I do to inherit eternal life" is quite interesting. Jesus offered the Ten Commandments, a list of what the man had to do to qualify. But when the man with many possessions testified to his lifelong practice of following the Ten Commandments, Jesus sought to challenge him, just as he challenges us, to a whole new level of understanding about eternal life in God. With love for him, the Lord said, "You lack one thing. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Eternal life is not about quantity. It's about quality. Eternal life means a deep connection with the ageless and invincible values of the kingdom of God. Eternal life describes the quality of relationships with human beings and God. As we consider our Lord's encounter with this man with many possessions, we can imagine Jesus' insight into his heart and soul. Jesus perceived that something still blocked him from total obedience to God: his many possessions. Material belongings stood in the way of his following Christ. The man went away shocked, grieving, stunned, defeated. He couldn't meet the ultimate challenge of obedience to God. His love of possessions blocked him from doing so. Now, many scholars say that when Jesus said, "Give up possessions," he meant that we didn't have to give up everything we owned, but we need to give up the possessions that have control over us. So what does that mean we have to give up? Do we have to go down to two or three outfits and one pair of shoes and riding a bike everywhere we go and eating one meal a day? No. But we do need to give up our selfish ways. People can be selfish in a lot of ways. And we need to put God first instead of second or third. Some ways that we're selfish is greed, prejudice, ignorance, pride, anger, or none of you are afflicted by this, the need to control others, the inability to acknowledge our sins, or the things that we leave undone. Or is it, after all, a love of possessions that does stand in our way with us connecting to Christ? We live in a culture of materialism that advertises that we need to have certain things to live happily. QVC, HSN, eBay, Amazon, even Walmart have become so enormously popular because they try to convince us that we must have certain possessions. And if we don't, there's probably something wrong with us. One of the things that I've always heard is that people who are truly in poverty are much closer to the kingdom of God than the rest of us. And I believe this to be true. People in our country who are living on the margins of poverty, I know you have many in this city, as we do in Elwood, and people in other countries who are desperately poor are much closer to the kingdom of God because they have no possessions standing in their way of God's love and living the way that God would have us live. I do a lot of work with recipients of food pantries, soup kitchens, and I volunteer at the Pendleton Correctional Facility. One of the things that I really like about working with this segment of our population is that these people truly have very little in the way of material possessions. And I see every day that I work with these people, they're closer to the kingdom of God than I am, because they don't have those things standing in their way. They rely on God each and every day for just about everything that comes their way. They're not tied to a cell phone. They're not bragging about golf scores. They're not sporting the latest manicure or a new outfit. Something I've always known since I was 5 or 6 years old, I don't know why I've always known this, but I have. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. I'd like to finish up with a parable that Pastor Cal assures me you have not heard. We'll see. It's the parable of the carrots, eggs, and coffee. A young man was very discouraged by life, and he went to his grandfather to ask for advice. The grandfather, without saying anything, filled 3 pots with water and put them on the stove to boil. In the first pot, he placed carrots. Second, he placed eggs. And in the last, he placed ground coffee beans. He let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He fished the carrots out, put them in a bowl, took out the eggs, also in a bowl, took the coffee, poured it into a cup. Turning to the boy, he said, "What do you see?" The boy said, "Carrots, eggs, coffee." He asked the boy to feel the carrots. He did, and he noted that they were soft and mushy. The grandfather asked him to examine the egg. He peeled the egg and found a hard-boiled egg. He asked the boy to sip the coffee. The coffee was aromatic, tasty, fragrant. Boy said, "What does this all mean?" Grandfather explained. Each of the objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. And don't we face boiling water from time to time? "But which are you?" the grandfather said. "Are you a carrot? You start out strong, but when adversity strikes, you become weak and mushy. Or are you like the egg? On the outside, you look the same, but on the inside, you've become hard-boiled. Or are you like coffee? And when surrounded by adversity, do you spread your fragrance, your love, your compassion, and change your environment? What are you?" Now, the moral of this story is that what matters is when we're all faced with adversity, hot water, to be exact, I guess, and how we react is a measure of the kind of person we are. So are you going to be a carrot where you turn soft and mushy? Are you going to be an egg where you're hard-boiled on the inside? Or are you going to be coffee and spread your compassion and love throughout your environment? As a private tutor and a mentor, I work with some of the most challenging young people in our community. One of the main issues that we have to deal with is that some of them are trying to change everything and everybody around them. Is a 12-year-old going to change the state requirements for graduation in the state of Indiana? I don't believe so. Are they going to change the school rules to allow certain things? No. One of our discussions, and I'll be going back tomorrow to see just what's happening, one of our discussions is, you need to pick your battles. And many of them do not realize that they have to work within the rules to change things. They can't distinguish what they can change and what they cannot. We all have to work toward transcending life's difficulties. And one of the last things I want to leave with you, because I have always believed this and believe it more firmly every single day, is if you believe something is right, don't let anyone or anything ever deter you from doing what you know to be right. You may be the only one doing that, but don't let anyone or anything ever deter you from what you know to be God's will.